Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast in studio.
Yay! Yep.
Finally, feels like it's been a month of Sundays.
Word, I came in. They've been put a door up on. They're doing construction on the floor where we tape. They done put a whole
door. They done changed the bathroom code.
Yeah,
the code has changed
now? The code has changed
now. What is it now? Shit. Nigga might need to know.
531.
All right. Let me write that down. So how's everybody doing?
Good, good.
Yo, it's cold outside, and I'm underdressed for the weather, but I'm kind of underdressed on purpose. Like, I'm cold in protest because I could not bring myself to put on boots.
It was 30-something degrees this morning.
Like, though, a wool sweater or my parka, I could not do it.
It was 30-something this morning.
It's insane. Like, I know New York is spotty. I know we don't have no real spring, but God damn.
Come on, B.
My internal system wouldn't let me do it. My internal system was like, no, nah. No sweater.
Nah.
Nah, I can't.
Yesterday in the morning, he's like, damn, do I put a sweater on? Am I playing myself? Yep. Am I like, do I wear? I wore a fucking scarf today. I thought you was gonna climb.
I got a scarf. I got my Timbs on.
I thought you was gonna climb because of the scarf.
It's cold. Say,
well, nigga, always be climbing. Be saying I be bundled up like a little boy in our Toy Story with the mittens and shit.
I did that mostly because, nigga, you literally like 700 feet from the studio.
You can catch a cold in 700 feet walking up that
mountain. You really can.
You better say really sorry now. If you notice, your boy ain't had a cold all winter.
That's true.
I'd have had other ailments. My gout flared up a couple times.
Did you get the fat back?
My knee?
What's
the fat back?
For your gout.
Hell no.
It works. Listen, let me
who
tell you something.
Who said that shit?
Somebody tweeted it to you, but I posted it. Country Cousin.
Talk about.
But listen, Country Cousin had a cyst. She had just given us this testimony, which is how I know you need the fat back. Because somebody said it right after she said it. She had a cyst. The doctors wanted to charge her some ridiculous amount of money to laser it. She went down south. Somebody was like, baby, get some salt. My aunt actually was like, my cousin rather, was like, get some salt pork fat back. And they were like, what? But they went to the store, and you have to get, like, not the one that you can actually cook, but the one that's just for seasoning. It looks like rock salt. You know one? That one? Got that one, bandaged it around her neck. That bitch went gone. It's something about the salt in the
pork. It sucks
something
the shit out.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with
this. Just rub it on your leg.
I'm hoping
it's going to pop like podcast right now. In case y'all just tuning in.
Because Shirley used to cook it with the back that way.
We all got roots down by
right,
bottom,
right.
So. Look, I'm just working hard to not get the gout again. I don't want no more flares. I've been watching what I can't eat that. I figured it out exactly what I cannot eat. I'm dead on all seafood.
Damn.
Shellfish.
Damn.
I can eat salmon. I can eat a fish.
Right. You can't eat shellfish.
No lobster, no crabs, no shrimp, no scrimps, no clams, no oysters.
That's rough.
Scallops, dead.
Well, I could never eat it, so I'm good.
Oh, you allergic?
No, you can't eat
the shellfish.
I didn't know that.
Oh, well, then shit, I'm in the club with you.
Suffering.
Yeah, I miss it already. Let's start off with some shout-outs.
Mm-hmm.
My shout out is to Mbakwe!
Yay! Congratulations, Christiana.
I was
going
to say friend to the show, but it's deeper than that. It's deeper than rap.
Yeah.
Christiana Mbakwe, Nigeria's own, London's own. Has announced her engagement to, is it Louis or Luis?
Louis.
Okay, Louis. I ain't met the boy yet, but you know.
I mean, look,
I trust her. I know she's very particular, so
yes.
If she's that head over heels for him, then I know he's a nice guy. He looked nice in the pictures.
He's nice. We met him once, and we met him once, and I think we scared him because he and Christiana were in New Orleans last year. They left just as Essence was starting. They had been there for the week because she had never been. And they met me and Mama and Greg at Pat O'Brien's, which is the original hurricane spot.
Oh.
And by the time they got to us, we were already towed and belligerent. Like, all three of us, All three of us were drunk and, like, belligerent drunk. We were having, me and mom were having some argument about me being on punishment in high school. I don't know, but hopefully we didn't scare you, Lewis, if you're listening. But I'm going to be at the, me and mama will be at the wedding. We'll see
she
you there.
Tweeted his DM.
Mm. Oh, when they first started?
Yeah, yep. And it was, like, the perfect, I said, if that was shooting your shot, it was, like, a perfect free throw. It was a free throw. It was a rhythmic.
Yeah.
Yep. Which,
nothing but net.
Yep. And here they are.
And here they are.
So God bless them. And you obviously, we wish them well. And we're happy for them. And one day we'll meet you, Lewis. You know, maybe put you to the side and throw some brown down your throat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Get you going and shit.
Come with the flask.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, come on over here. We got something, you know. I also wanted to say peace to our, well, it ain't really a piece to, but like, as a documentary that I watched on Netflix called Wild Wild Country. Have you heard about this?
I saw a couple people watching it.
Yeah.
It's, but I have no idea what it's about.
I'm not going to get deep because it's a six part. It's a lot going on. But basically, it's about this guy. His name ended up being Osho. And he's one of those kind of spiritual guys from India. And he started this religious commune in India. You know, you could call it a commune, you can call it a cult, whatever you want to call it. He started in India in the 70s and the 60s, late 60s, 70s. And they grew and grew and grew and to the point where they didn't have any more space in India. So they decided to come to the United States. So they bought 80,000 acres of land in Oregon, in the middle of Oregon, which included this little town called Antelope, Oregon. And they moved to the town, and it's about how they basically took over the town. They built, you know, all these structures around it. They did all this irrigation. Because that's the interesting thing about this guy. I mean, maybe other cults are like that too. But, like, a lot of the whites that were attracted to this cult were, like, very educated. Mm-hmm. So it was like lawyers and doctors and architects and engineers and stuff. So they like did stuff with the town and created like, you know, ways to make the town, the land green again, infrastructure and, you know, all this type of stuff. So he wasn't just out here just like wilding. He had like a squad, like a, you know, a real kind of like formatted squad. And it was about the battle of the town. And, you know, the underlying theme of the thing is basically about religious persecution. Like how these white folks who Christian didn't like them because of this religion. And then later on, a lot of the things that they didn't like, they do the same thing. But as long as it's under the guise of Christianity, it's cool. Mm-hmm. So it's a real story. It really happened. It's a documentary. It happened, just like I said, in the 80s. It wasn't that long ago. Wow. So it's just an interesting thing. It's six parts, hour piece. I think, you know, if you got some time, you should definitely watch it. And I feel like I had one more and I forgot about it.
I don't think I have any.
You have any? You got any, bro?
Nah, I ain't got no shot.
Oh, wait. Yes. I want to say shout. We haven't talked about this. This is a little bit late, but I did want to say shout to Grownish because the season ended.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago. And we talked about it in the beginning, but I really came to enjoy that show. Like, I really
enjoyed
this
shit.
They put together a really great group of kids.
Yep.
The first, and I was never not into it, but I found myself getting more drawn in
as the season
went along. So they really put together a great ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And you said this earlier, Sean, but Zoe is really kind of like, she's not the focus. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's actually, I actually appreciate that.
It's a true ensemble show.
Yeah, it's a true ensemble show. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it. You know, like Lil Diggy Simmons had a little cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the boyfriend of one of the Chloe and Halle girls.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really like the talent they've put together. I really like the chemistry they all have together. And it's cute and it's fun.
I really like it a lot.
Really,
and they cover a ton of issues.
Like real shit.
Real shit. It was it's very, like we said early on, it could be very edgy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, way more edgy even than Blackish.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the finale because it wasn't like the finale. It was just like the last episode of the season. It wasn't like this big thing. And just sidebar, shout out to Luca, the guy who plays Luca. His real name is Luca. He did an interview with Ebro on Hot 97 this past week. And I had never really seen him interviewed, but when I saw him interviewed, I'm like, oh, yo, you know what? He is kind of acting because he's way more animated in real life.
He plays like very subdued.
He's not subdued at all. He's like, he's a New York kid. He's like talking mad shit. He's really, you know, a swagged out New York kid.
Right.
He's one of those kids in about 2005, 2006 to probably about 2010. There was a massive group of kids that would all hang on Lower Broadway in Soho. Mm-hmm. You go down on a Saturday, it was like a fucking madhouse. Mm-hmm. And it was all these kind of real creative kids. The ASAP Squad came out of that. Mm-hmm. Kid Cudi used to be in that. Yeah, exactly. Kid Cudi and them used to be in that. They weren't famous then, though, but they were all Teyana Taylor. They were all in that story. He was one of those kids. He talks about it on the interview. I really enjoyed the interview. He was like, I was like, oh shit, like, I like this kid.
Right.
Yeah, I like him a lot. You know, like, so. But back to Grownish, you know, I love that show. Like, it's great.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I didn't realize some of the cast members were as old as they were.
Yeah, like a couple of them are almost 30.
Yeah.
Like who?
The white girl
who plays the roommate.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
And the white girl.
Yeah, the Spanish girl and the white girl.
Yeah, they're 29 in real life.
Yeah. Okay, I definitely thought
the Spanish girl's like 27, 28. But yeah, but the white girl's 29. Yeah. Or something, or the reverse. Like, the Spanish girl's older and the white girl's like, but they're both.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I thought they were all like teens.
Nah.
Yeah. But you know, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you gotta play the type or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, did y'all watch Fix My Life?
Yes.
With Trina Braxton?
Yes. And Gabe
and them two boys. Them two boys need a month down south with Big Mama and get their asses in line. Because both them boys is way off. Well, let's get to it.
Yeah.
So, Ayanna had her show. Was that the last one?
You never know.
I don't know because I didn't see
a preview for next week.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
They usually do a doom finale.
Yeah, they'll do it.
So Trina Braxton was on here, and the episode was basically about her and Gabe having this really weird relationship.
Post-divorce.
And her two sons who are not by Gabe, and his relationship with really the younger one. The older one didn't seem to. If he had issues, he's kind of dealing with them, I guess. It was just a really weird thing, but Ayanna said something that I believe I've said on this show when the Braxtons was first on. We used to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, and I don't mean it, no disrespect, but like I always felt like Miss Evelyn was a mean person wrapping that Christiane nice. Around it to cover up.
We know her.
Yeah, we. We absolutely know her. We know her from church.
Yeah.
I know several off the top of my head.
No doubt.
Right.
All that praise, blah, 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 but mean as a rattlesnake up underneath.
But the other thing that goes with that is that there's a pathology, and Trina kind of spoke to this, but she didn't really get into it, where there's a certain amount of denial. So there was this, I haven't watched the Braxtons in a long time, but I saw a clip where they were all in Hawaii or wherever the hell, and Michael Senior showed up, but Tamar was saying that her mother once said, because they were talking to Tony about homeboy Birdman and about something, but Evelyn apparently once said to all the girls, if you find out your man is cheating, unless you're going to do something about it, shut up, or shut up unless you're going to do something about it. Because the thing was, there's no need to bring it to him unless you're going to bring it to him and make a move if he doesn't change. So it's like, unless you're going to do something about it.
Eat it.
Basically. And I was like,
what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I understand the logic.
As a lady. As the lady in the room.
Right. I understand the logic, but I think it positions you in a place to say, like, if I have no desire to leave my man, I'm just going to let him do whatever he wants to do. There are things in between not saying anything and getting the fuck out.
Yeah, that's like a huge gap.
There's a conversation. There's counseling.
There's a massive gap between.
Like, there's a lot. Yeah. But I felt like it's a really old school frame of thought, right?
Yeah,
like a man gonna be a man type of shit.
Mm.
But it says a lot about Evelyn because you know, the story is that Michael Sr. was having this entire relationship.
Yeah, it wasn't an affair. It was a relationship.
Friend,
oh, that was her best friend?
Or maybe not her best friend. She knew them. Like, she used to babysit the girls or some shit. Like, they knew her.
Wow.
So it was a whole thing. But it said a lot to me. And I do believe that there is a certain, what they have learned from their mom is to really not address shit. You know what I'm saying? In their marriages and whatever, even if shit gets really sticky, like maybe have some little fights and arguments about it, but not really get into it. Because Trina admitted, she was like, they all have fucked up marriages. Every last one of them.
Every day. And then what, I don't know about the boy, but the boy don't even seem to
be around.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't fucking with y'all.
Yeah, they all have fucked up marriages. They all seem to have them. And, you know, Tamar, they apparently confronted Tamar because she used to look down her nose at the rest of them as though her marriage was perfect.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But they all seem to have husbands who could really kind of take them or leave them. Maybe not Tony and, what's his name?
Carrie.
But definitely Trina, definitely Tawanda. Definitely Tracy,
when you watch the show, that's what you got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even when you watch this show, I really got the sense that there was a very warped relationship between her and her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, and I mean, Yana pointed it out.
It seems like she's not a mother, she's a friend.
Well, also, she was having conversations with a 19-year-old boy about things that are just inappropriate for a mother to have with her
son.
You should not be, and I would suggest that that was all he wanted to let out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I suggest.
Like, leave me out of this.
Well, no. I mean, I think that that's all he wanted to let out on the show. I think that those
there's more shit.
Yes. I think that there are more, much more intimate conversations. Shit. And I don't, let me be clear.
Not sexual.
I don't think, I'm not at all suggesting that she's doing anything inappropriate with her son.
Yeah. Right.
I think that she has a warped sense of judgment when it comes to having conversation about her relationship with her children. That is not a conversation for you to be having with him.
Yeah.
Like, that is a young man that is forming. Like, you can tell, basically, he could never really point to anything that Gabe had done to him.
So you feel like his animosity towards Gabe was stuff that from that Trina
It was
says.
Animosity because of what he saw reflected in his mom.
Mm.
The pain that he saw her carrying, the disconnect that was in that house.
Yeah.
All of those things. And so, yes, it became like this, you're a fucking jerk because you make my mother feel fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And there's really not much I could do about it.
Yeah.
And I think that kid has some issues. I don't know, physically. I mean, he looked very young for a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, and again, I'm not at all suggesting the kid is not all the way together, as my mom was saying.
Yeah.
Right.
But there definitely seems to be a little awkwardness with him.
Yeah.
And he seems
more than
to
a little.
Be, and I think that this is sort of his outlet, right? So he gets to sort of be man of the house, for lack of a better term, because he does not look like the kid that gets to do that shit outside with his friends.
Right.
No.
So in that house and in that domain, he gets to have some say.
Yes.
He gets to be able
some
to
leverage.
Do. Yes. He gets to be able to raise his voice a little bit and you know, and stomp around.
Mm.
And I think that because guess what, dude? Like, you 19, you living under my roof.
Right.
Who the fuck I have in my guest house is none of your fucking concern.
Exactly.
Right. How about that?
Yeah. You ain't paying nary
a
bill.
Like that's normally what would happen.
Right.
Now, listen, as a parent, I think, yes, it would be ideal for you to have that conversation, right? But for him to feel entitled to that space.
Like, how dare you not tell me he was
like,
there?
Like, you upset? Like, how did that even come about?
But on the flip side, just having Gabe in the guest house for 3 months was incredible, was a problematic.
Well, I think Gabe,
I don't know what the conditions of the divorce were, but to me.
Here's the conditions. Okay, they're not together technically.
But they're not apart.
But they fucking.
Yeah.
Regularly.
And they comfortable with each other. She probably take off her wig and have a little, you know what I'm saying?
A little box of cornrows.
You know what I'm saying? She ain't got to wear her Spanx.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And she ain't got to wear her makeup.
Right.
And I think that there's something to be said for that. And I think Gabe is comfortable there as well. He has a sense of, he didn't really speak about his childhood. I get the sense that he doesn't have a lot of family because he didn't have a place to go. I think that provides him the comfort of a family, no matter the dysfunction. Dysfunction be damned.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to sit at this table and everybody's going to be silent about their fucked up lives, but we're going to have Sunday dinner.
We're still here.
We're still here.
Yeah, okay. Pastor Pease.
Exactly.
I also definitely thought up until this show that those were Gabe's kids.
Well, I never did.
No. And I thought that one of those kids were Gabe's kids, mm-hmm. and that I thought she had another kid outside of that, because I think they mentioned that. Look, I think I watched maybe the first season or the second season. Like the first I made it checked seasons. Out. But I didn't know that those were, neither of those were his children. I think that it was really like, you know, she said as much. Basically, Gabe was not able to provide the life that she wanted.
Right.
That's what she says. And now, I don't know if that meant Gabe was lazy and laying on his ass, or if Gabe was not able to provide the life that she felt entitled to.
That's what it is. Because I know he worked, I think he still does, he's like a tech, like an IT guy. So I think he made a decent living, but it wasn't like he's making $1 million a year.
My point is, she could never, no matter the success of Gabe, no matter how great business was, she was never going to compete with Tamar and Tony.
Right. Yeah.
And Tamar would throw it in their face. She'd be like, well, I'm going to go get on my jet.
I'm going to go to my mansion.
Yeah. Like, literally say these things.
Yeah, pull up in the Bentley.
I can get on my jet.
And so I think that all of that stuff begins to sort of, you know, knead at you a little bit at a time. And I think that the reality is that, you know, and I've said this as much, I think that even when watching the show, there was a little bit of drunk girl.
She's very bloated now from the drinking.
There's a little bit of drunk girl, and I think that there's some issues that I don't think that she has addressed.
Absolutely.
Well, her son said she was stress eating, which, why do we even know the phrase stress eating? Because she told.
Because that's my point.
But her son was like, she's stress eating. But Trina picked up that weight about 2-3 years ago now. That weight
It's on there now. It's on there.
No, because you got a window.
If
you could get rid of it, like, within the year, it'll come off pretty easy. After you let it hang around about 2-3 years,
it's kind of
about to be some
now. Old Curtis, that's down to the plant.
I didn't say she don't look good.
Yeah, she did.
She still gets it.
She ain't obese, but
you sign up.
She liked the white men.
But if you like,
she liked the non-blacks.
If you look at the earlier season, she was a rail.
Because she likes non-blacks.
Yeah, totally. And that's why I was gonna go with it. I also believe that she's saying something to them boys about not being black. Because the youngest boy just is a slovenly. Unkempt, no haircut, da da da. And then the older boy
has
got
like
some type
cut.
Of crazy perm.
He got
like
the skater.
Yeah, like, nigga, like, that's, what are you doing, my nigga? Like, that's not your hair. Like,
I wanted to be like, I need to see them interact.
He looks part Samoan.
Yeah,
because I know this nigga cousins. I'm positive. I don't need to see Tracy's kids.
They need
them some niggas.
Them some country.
And they probably don't
nigga.
Fuck. They probably
don't fuck with him at all.
They don't fuck with them.
Yeah, they're like, what's up with your head?
Oh, nigga, like, yo, nigga, get this nigga out of here.
He probably playing some old underground skater punk music. And they're like, put the fucking Kendrick on, nigga.
Put that ego song.
Yeah, nigga. Evanescence.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. So I also feel like, yeah, it was like a thing with Tracy almost like wanting her kids to be as white as possible, which is why she's having kids by white men. The other thing I was going to say is she also lying because she said that those kids was both by the same guy. And those boys don't look anything alike.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on, son. You lying about that younger one.
Here's the other thing. She had those kids while she was fairly young.
Yeah.
She was coming from a prominent church family.
Yeah.
We know how this goes.
So she had to lie.
We know how this goes.
And where's the dad?
All she said was they're not involved.
I wonder why.
I think she said like they never, I think she suggested like they never had been.
Yeah, I get the sense.
Because she just said bio dad. She didn't even say their dad. She was like bio dad.
But I felt like, look, I'm talking total shit because I don't know nothing. But I've seen this scenario before, and that I felt like maybe the bio dad, for whatever reason, it didn't work. And then she just basically like, okay, well, I got this new guy. You're no longer needed. Like, you know, look, if you come around, you do. If you don't, you don't. But I ain't tripping on you no more, because I got this young Latin guy who's fucking me, and I'm listen, happy with
and
that.
You know what? I'm not even necessarily mad at that, because I think when you have to start to negotiate for fathers to be in their children's lives, then it might actually be best for them to just not come around.
That's real.
Because you know what? Could you imagine the confusion and upheaval in that house if that boy had a daddy to run to?
Right. Yeah.
And tell him that shit.
There'd be some hands being thrown.
Yeah, it would have been, you know what I'm saying? And again, like, that's what I'm saying. When she says to him, yo, did he do anything to you?
Yeah.
No.
Like, does he abuse you? Did he sexually abuse you?
So he basically provided a stable life while your mom was out. Because, you know, Trina was a background
singer. Yeah, so she was on the road.
She was on the road. To me, the utter disrespect was just beyond comprehension to me. It was beyond comprehension to me. And that kid, even though he's 19, he's not a child.
Yeah.
Like, that kid was, he clearly has had conversations, and he clearly sort of understands, you know, people and you know, human behavior.
Yeah, he got some cognitive skills.
I don't understand why he was so fucking angry. I just felt like he wanted to be an asshole, and he couldn't anywhere else but to Gabe.
But here.
Because he knew, one,
that's Gabe eat it.
And Gabe will eat it, and you're not my dad.
Yeah.
And I could do shit to you because I've seen my mother, you know, treat you like shit.
Yo, man, people forget. I remember one of them earlier seasons with Trina and the fucking one of them niggas in the band.
Mm.
They ain't fuck on TV, but like
the relationship,
the whole relationship. And she talked about she was giving the nigga head, and I'm like, that, like, you know, these shows go on so long, sometimes people start to forget.
Yeah. Right.
Yo, you know, not Gabe was on some bullshit, but so was she. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
just think they function. You know, people who only know how to function and dysfunction.
They live in dysfunction.
I think the entire Braxton family is that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes from their mom.
And from their dad. Like, Michael Sr. is kind of like an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
he is. No, he is.
For real.
He definitely is. He definitely is. And, you know, he moved on and with that lady. And they still together.
And he basically was just, like, abandoned the girl.
Yeah, like, deuces.
Like, did you guys see the conversation he had with Tamar about not coming to Tamar's wedding or Trina's wedding or somebody's wedding?
Really? No.
Where he didn't come because they didn't invite his wife. So he didn't come, which I kind of get, but he also just, like, wasn't going to talk to them about it.
Like,
just,
fuck it.
The father.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, just, you know, that's the come. Other thing, too.
And then he said something like, well, I don't really get into women's feelings and all such. These are your daughters. What the fuck?
That's woman folk stuff.
Literally almost
everything. I'm going to leave that old because them old niggas get on my nerves.
Yeah.
And then they sit around and talk about my kids.
Yeah.
Nigga, the fuck out of here. You wasn't even around like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
And it was really awesome, like, I mean, what y'all want me to do? Like, nigga, just apologize for nothing. You are my father. Yeah, tonight, nigga, my wedding.
The day's
what
over.
The
I missed it. End. Yeah. Move on. So I mean, I don't know. This shit was just a weird. I actually felt like it should have been a two-parter, but maybe they couldn't.
Yeah, it did seem like there was more there.
I thought they were going to do a two-parter, but they didn't.
I don't think you were going to get more out of them.
Right.
Yeah. Because Ayanna said that at the beginning. She's like, I didn't really want to do this because I know you know about TV and how to work this shit, and I didn't want to waste my time with you playing TV games and not really giving it up.
And she always tells the reality stars that. She always says, I'm not here to do TV.
Yeah, this is real. So it's been a great season for Ayanna so far. Fab and Emily. I know certain folks got to probably sit out of it, you know, so, you know, go on your phone.
Shout out to Brevoort.
Check on your eBay.
See what them
so, Fabulous and Emily, you know, they've been a couple for a long time, and it came out, this video came out last week of Fab threatening to kill Emily's dad and brother, and Emily, you know, running like a scared child from Fab.
Yeah. Well, before the video came out,
he tweeted, right?
Well, no, before the video came out, something came out about Emily filing a report or something. Because that came out first. And then a lot of people were like, where's the proof? Where's the proof? And then they saw
and then here's the video.
So
apparently the rumor, because it's just a rumor, so it's all allegedly, is that Fab was in LA doing something and whatever, and was checking IG and realized that Emily was in LA too, although he didn't know.
Right.
So the rumor is she was in LA with some cat.
And he was like, or not.
All allegedly.
Like, he was just like, who the fuck are you with?
Yeah, why are you out here?
Yeah.
And so he goes nuclear and then comes home and it's a lot of drama.
But clearly, I think this was also something ongoing because Emily had said that he had punched her hard enough to knock her two teeth out, but not necessarily this time. Do you see what I'm saying?
So the teeth thing happened, but not...
I'm not sure, but I'm not certain that these were...
The same incident.
Incident, because apparently Emily's report was about, like, ongoing.
Because they said one time he punched her seven times in a row. That's like a combination. That's a fight. Like,
right.
You should never punch your girl one time. But seven times, yeah. Nigga, you trying to do some real damage.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think we're all talking about... I don't think all of this it's is all one the same isolated thing.
Yeah, you might be right.
But I do think people are kind of putting it all together. I think what happened is that Emily finally either filed a police report or did something that required her to actually document...
What's going on.
Previous abuse.
Yeah.
But I do remember that the abuse conversation, like the revelation of it came first, and then the video came after.
Okay. And you can tell the way Emily is reacting to him in the video, it's happened before.
Right.
Because she's frightened like a child.
Yeah.
Like when he kind of gets around his security guy who's trying to hold him back, like she sprints, she's running away like, oh my God, he's loose. Like he's going to get me kind of thing, you know? You know, he's kind of tweeted one or two kind of cryptic things since then, like,
yeah, so I'm
my
like,
heart
I'm just
is
gonna,
broken.
But he also said something like, I'm just going to be quiet.
Yeah, till the truth comes out. I'm like, my nigga, like...
You look crazy.
That's part of the truth right there.
But let me say this. Whenever these things happen, y'all niggas, and I know it's not y'all niggas who list, because I'm just going to assume that none of our listeners are these niggas.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all niggas tell on yourself so fast. When this shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of niggas was like, nah, what he did was wrong, but I want to know what she did to cause it. Nigga, it do not matter. You know what I mean?
As soon as you put a butt after it, nigga, you're over.
It's over.
Yeah. And there's a lot of niggas on Twitter, as like you said, doing the butt. You know what I'm saying, though? Like, we don't know the whole story.
Yeah, like,
nigga,
I just want to know what she did, though. I mean,
she got two teeth knocked out.
Yeah, she had to have done something. Or the niggas who's like, but show me where he landed a punch on her. What the
fuck? There was niggas, you know, there was niggas defending Ray Rice when that video came out.
I remember. I was in fear. Like, I had a friend who was defending Ray Rice, and I was cussing him the fuck out. And he finally had to back down. I was like, nigga.
Like,
and it was
the
same thing.
The video.
Like, well, what did she do? Did she hit him, nigga? He knocked her out cold.
Unconscious.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
right now?
Like, what are you talking
He's
about?
He's a fucking professional athlete.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? And drug her ass out the elevator.
Well, like I always say, and I know you say it too. A lot of you niggas
don't like women.
You like pussy. You don't like women. You like pussy.
And you,
or you like somebody
because
to take care of you.
You can't get all the pussy that you want.
Exactly.
You
or you like somebody
like
to take
women.
Care. You like somebody that might cook for you.
Yeah.
Or take care of your kids so you don't have to. But you don't like women in and of themselves. And when you say comments like that, I'm putting you in that box.
Yeah.
Right away. Like, okay, I know you don't like women, nigga. They just whatever they can do for you is what it's all about. So we're gonna see what happens, you know, moving forward. I still am skeptical of if she's gonna actually leave him.
Right.
Because, you know, they've been together a long time, they do have two pretty young children.
Yep.
She's, you know, for better or worse, rode it out to this point. And I feel like she's going to be like, hey, it might be a separation for a little while.
Right.
But I feel like, don't be surprised if like in 6 months.
The other thing is, right, like you said, they have two small children. I really don't, if I offend anyone in saying this, I apologize, but there is a certain cultural.
The Latin thing?
Tolerance. Not even acceptance, but a different type of tolerance in this type of behavior, and kind of like what goes on in a man's home is a man's thing.
In the Latin
But I'm not saying that that means that she's just gonna automatically come back. But also, like, there's a lifestyle there, right? It's easy to say Emily should leave, but like Sean says all the time, it's hard to reduce costs. It's hard to reduce overhead just overnight.
Yeah,
you know,
go from having access to say like. You know, because Fab made some money over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, so just for a round number, because I don't know. But just say, like, he consistently keeps $500,000 to $600,000 in a checking account.
Right.
That she has access to.
That she has access to.
Right, maybe more. But let's just say for a round number that.
Right.
To go from that.
to basically
like nothing, basically to nothing.
Is doing what, hosting gigs?
Yeah, hosting and you know, flat tummy tea and yeah, you know, like that internet bullshit. So going for that to that, and then having to ask this nigga for money all the time, and now he's really totally controlling the lifestyle,
right?
Because he's like, nah, you know, oh, yo, you can only have 1,000. I need 2,000. No, you know, it turns into a whole thing. So, yeah, it's tough. Like, even when they, the video, she's running around a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
There's a Rolls Royce parked in front. Yeah. You know, he's jumping in a, you know, the SUV. And like you said, there is a lifestyle.
And then lastly, as a lot of people noted on Twitter, for the why and she just leave from people, when there is abuse, it actually escalates when the abused tries to leave the situation.
Totally.
That's when it
mentally actually, and physically.
Mentally and physically, yeah. It actually escalates. Like most of the time, the moment when it does go all the way to death, unfortunately, it happens when the person's actually trying to leave.
Yeah.
Like that's the moment. So it's not as easy as like I'm just going to leave. Like I don't think people really don't understand what it's like to be terrorized in your own home.
Yeah, and you can tell by her actions she's been terrorized.
Even if they're not, even if that person ain't on 100 all the time, it's that feeling like at
any moment it could go left.
That shit could go left. Like, it's not so easy to just say, I'm going to get my shit and be out.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Especially not to with a person with
and access. And honestly, where's she going? Back up to the Bronx with her dad?
Right.
Like,
right.
Where's she going?
With the two kids and like the grown kid.
Just what I'm saying. Yeah, and the daughter who's like 18 or 17.
Who Fab like, also takes care of.
Of course. Like it's tough. So praying for all of them. You know what I'm saying? Right. I wish them well and you know, hope Fab bro, I hope you get some help.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know,
but you know what? Somebody said this and it's kinda true. Somebody said that even though this is a little bit different than the sexual abuse, but somebody was commenting that she said something like a friend asked me, you know, what was going to happen when hip hop had its Me Too moment. And I said, nothing. And it's true. Like,
you think it'll ever actually even have one?
No, I don't. Maybe the music industry on a whole, as far as executives, but even the Russell shit done bubbled up under already. Even though Russell himself is keeping it alive. Russell, please shut up. Please.
Keep saying a bunch of dumb
shit.
Oh
my God, and, please shut up.
Yeah.
But like, it's just so. So much of it is ingrained into the culture. I just don't know that we'll ever have a real
record. And the other wild thing about, like you said, when these things happen is when you go online now, you know, obviously with social media, you can go online and see what people are talking about. A lot of women are like,
yeah.
Well, what does she do?
Right.
Like, this girl's saying it too. It's like, goddamn, like, what's going on here? Like, y'all was, you know, some of y'all was raised really warped. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, God bless both of them. I just want to, even though Brian C., I just want to mention last week's episode of Atlanta, which to me was Emmy worthy. It was about the barbershop with the lead character, barber named Bibby, who was that was some of the funniest shit I've seen on TV.
It was the funniest, but first of all.
Because it was so real.
But first of all, Paperboy, I just need a whole season to just Paperboy. Like, that motherfucker is just, he's been. Everything that's been funny about this season has been Paperboy.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Like, the episode I liked the least so far was the one where it was just him and his girl, wherever the fuck
they were. Oh, up when they were up at the German thing. Yeah.
But, like everything about Paperboy, because Paperboy is always so tired of the bullshit at all
times.
He's
always like,
he's
I can't believe
always this. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, just all, like, nigga,
so
really?
That whole episode
like,
was him doing that.
Yeah, like, nigga, you got to
be. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, shit
it was great.
It was awesome.
So great. It wasn't even just black barbers. Like, that's just, we all got that cousin.
That nigga.
Or that nigga from the block.
Yeah, it's
we
just like,
know that nigga.
And that's why when people online are like, I would have fucked Bibby up. I'm like,
If you know
that nigga, you know you wouldn't have because nobody fucks Bibby up.
Right.
We just know that's who he is.
Yeah.
You mad at him. You be mad as fucking him. You might curse him out.
And you
might not talk
to
him for a few days. But
you're
going to come back around. Anyway, whooping Bibby ass because
that's
who Bibby
is.
That's
who he is. You can't even.
Yeah, you can't. Whooping his ass is getting no. He ain't changing.
It was so. I mean, like, the shit he was coming up with, I was like, yo, this nigga is out of control.
That nigga was amazing, B. That nigga was amazing.
No, Atlanta's really been outstanding.
It has.
It's really been outstanding this season, and it's really been, I mean, there's always been realness in it, but even the episode where Paperboy had to go up to what was clearly supposed to be like a Twitter
like Spotify,
or Spotify
yeah.
or something, and like perform for them, I was like,
cause that's
this
real.
Shit is so real, and then it came out that apparently that's an experience that Donald Glover had.
I believe
but
it.
But I was like, if you work in hip-hop, You are dying right now because this shit is 100% real.
A whole with bunch of white
internet
folks.
Startups with the make, white folks and oh my
making
God.
All the decisions about this black career.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's been great. And so I'm tonight, so I'm going to see you when I get home.
And this episode is all
yeah, no commercials,
my boy
right?
from Get Out. No, but it's focused around him.
Yeah, but there's no commercials.
Oh, I don't know. Is that the
case? Yeah, I saw it on saw online. There's no, this, tonight's episode is no commercials.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, it's like a Get Out type of thing. Yeah,
yeah.
I just wanted to mention yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination.
MLK 50.
We all know that story. We don't need to go deep about it.
But just a friendly reminder that when these white folks be trying to be on some what would MLK do, please remind them that they killed him.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
The two
they hated him. They killed him. They were happy he was dead.
They fucking was a cheering.
Problem. They called him the most dangerous Negro in America.
And there was a lot of black folks that wasn't fucking with him either.
Yeah, because he was disturbing the apple cart.
I wrote on an Instagram post in 1966, they did a Gallup poll. They didn't do the poll in 67 and 68. Mm-hmm. But in 66, they did a Gallup poll, and it was 32% positive and 63% negative. And that's across the board. It's not white people. Mm-hmm. It was a gang of black people who were basically like, all right, man.
Right.
Enough.
Yeah.
This like, shit is taking too long. Yeah. Ain't nothing happening. Go why we still marching? A lot of y'all niggas been doing.
And you know what's very interesting? To that point, I'm seeing more and more this undercurrent. Again, I mean, you know, Twitter and Black Twitter is just a sliver of life. So I'm not trying to say everything is based on that. But when I look at Twitter, I'm seeing more and more a little rumbling of people like now saying Obama was whack. I'm getting, I'm more and more like,
there's a lot of Obama decisions. Like, I never really did like Obama. But you know what? Those people I find who are very vocal about Obama being whack, they don't like any possible candidate. Like those
they don't
people,
like nobody.
They hated
those
Hillary,
ones who didn't vote.
They hated Hillary. They hated Obama. They hated Bernie. It's like, but they also hate Kamala Harris. They also hate Cory Booker. They also hate, you know, Elizabeth Warren. They hate every possible option, right? So it's like, the fuck y'all want?
Yeah.
Y'all just want to, like, I really feel like there is no perfect politician.
There's no perfect politician.
There's no perfect president. And the person that these people will find who they're happy with, somebody else is going to be unhappy with. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like,
yeah.
I mean, and granted, like while Obama was in office, there was a lot of motherfuckers who were mad that he wasn't
black enough
doing more. Or just doing more, being more aggressive, being more assertive. But now, I don't know.
At it now, my nigga. Like, again, he didn't do everything you wanted him to do.
I don't know how you can go through a year of Trump and say Obama was a whack president.
Yeah, like,
I don't even know.
I don't understand what you niggas, what you niggas are saying. Like, your man is sending the National Guard down to the Mexican border. Like, what the fuck?
It's like they're mad that, I think there are people who feel like Obama let Trump get elected in some way, shape, form, or fact. Like, they blame him for everything. It's a lot of blame. And, I mean, could Obama have been more aggressive, more assertive? Maybe. But you know what I've never done? Be the fucking president. So,
I feel like, are there flaws in his presidency?
Of course.
But I think that, you know, when we're going overall, I think a lot of people also skew that because it sort of makes them feel a little more politically savvy.
Yeah, like, y'all don't really know what's...
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I get it. Like I said, I mean, there is room for criticism during his presidency. I don't think you can frown upon his presidency. And I think as we get further away from the recentness of his presidency, it will show that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how people are... It's just kind of wild. And again, you know, even, you know, so like you said, nah, with this Dr. King thing, like, I hate the two people that they do that have done that to most recently is Dr. King and Muhammad Ali.
And they hated Muhammad Ali, too. And niggas especially hated Muhammad Ali.
Hated
they were
him.
Sick of his shit. Like, niggas,
hated
shut
him.
Up.
The Cassius Clay.
Everything. Yeah. And then once he, you know, got Parkinson's and was not able to speak and express himself like he could when he was a younger man, and then they painted him as this bumbling nice guy who doesn't, you know, who just loved everybody, and you know, he was such a brave guy. But in 68, when he didn't, you know, want to join the army, he was, again, like you said, one of the most dangerous men in America. It's crazy how they just take this shit and flip. Like, Dr. King is like fucking Santa Claus now, you know. So You know, and like I said, they killed him.
Right.
He didn't die of old age. He was 39. So that's when, I mean, but, you know, had to mention that on, you know, because. I want to mention Stephon Clark, who was shot at 20 times in Sacramento in his grandmother's backyard, while carrying a cell phone in his hand. The cops claimed they thought was a gun. This case is, you know, taking a lot of kind of twists and turns. And it's interesting because stuff started to come out, like, oh, he had all these tweets about, you know, he didn't like black women and a couple of, I guess, what you want to call problematic tweets. And I believe the tweets are real, but I'm also like, nothing. Number two, it's like, haven't y'all niggas realized by now that there are people that get down on social media? So as soon as he got killed, they dug into his shit.
Yeah.
And they're the ones pushing the stuff forward.
Right.
To make you niggas
feel away. That's probably
and be hesitant to support him.
That's probably some Russian.
That's my point. It ain't, it's like they Jedi-ing you openly.
How do you even find it?
Exactly.
Even if.
And again, what does it matter?
That's my point, right? Even if that's how he felt, like, this whole idea and this whole assumption that we need to have these sort of perfect victims is a problem
right.
for me.
Right.
And this sort of leads to even the imaging and even the way stories are talked about. When we hear about, even when kids get killed with black-on-black crime, right, when young men are killed in black-on-black crime, there is always this tone of, he was educated. He was going to college.
He was a good kid.
He was a good kid. He went to church, and he did. And
it's so like, such a narrow narrative.
It is always an attempt to, you know, basically sort of soften a person to make them a likable person.
Which they shouldn't have to be worthy of life.
And he shouldn't have to be.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have to be. Like, the reality is he felt the way he felt, right? And they still shouldn't have fucking killed him
in a backyard,
and slaughtered him the way they
exactly. Right.
And also, like I said on the show, I knew that there were going to be. I'm actually surprised there haven't been more conversations about the fact that, like, he had a record.
Oh, I didn't even know
that. He had a petty theft record, and he just got out. He just came home. Yeah. I said on the show he had just come home.
Okay.
So I'm actually surprised that there hasn't been more made
about that.
To be honest with you, but I think his brother's out here.
His brother has also. I saw a clip where his aunt spoke, and aunt talked about the. Apparently, I believe that's the middle brother.
Okay.
And I believe Stephen was the younger brother, and they lost an older brother as well.
Okay.
So she was basically like, this kid is...
He's traumatized.
He's like, she used the words PTSD. Like, he is really in a bad space right now.
Right.
And that is understandable. I mean... my heart goes out to that family.
Of course.
I don't like... feeling like it, let me say this: if you're gonna dig into people's past in order to find a perfect victim, you're never gonna do that.
Mm-mm.
You're just never
impossible.
Gonna do that. It's
impossible.
It's about standing on the side of what's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the fact is like the fact that you would take this opportunity to. You know, use this as...
To find old tweets.
To find old tweets. And to make this about... To make this a gender or a black woman thing.
Yeah.
Or to make this... Mm-hmm. And trust me, I am not dismissing the hurt.
Right.
I don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm not dismissing the pain that or the triggering that reading those words may cause you. It still does not... It's basically the same shit that white folks do. It's like you finding a reason to justify why he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, well, he shouldn't have moved his arm.
He shouldn't have. Yeah. He should have stolen a pack of gum.
Exactly. He should have just done what the cop said. I don't want to lay on the ground, my face on the concrete.
But a part of this is also, again, a part of this is sort of steeped a bit in social media, right? And what social media has done is because now you get to go in your car and turn your phone on and go live, right? Like, you get to have a voice. And you get to have people applauding you and giving you all the
likes and right. hearts and shit.
Yeah, and you get all the sort of adulation and all of this attention. And this allows folks to go out here really and say dumb shit. Okay, there was a video, I think I might have got like maybe 15 seconds in. Like, this is stupid. This woman is crazy. Like, this is just dumb.
This is some dumb shit.
Like, this is some dumb shit. This is some dumb attention shit right here. Like, none of this is
you don't really give a fuck about him.
No.
You just want the attention.
You just want the attention, right? And that's what happens. It's like social media becomes, it's about tweets and retweets and likes and let me go live and all of that sort of shit. And it's just like, whatever, man.
I don't even be going on live, man. Fuck that live shit.
I tell
you, all you niggas, I don't watch your lives. I'm not interested in your fucking lives. I don't give a fuck about what you're saying on your fucking lives. Sitting in your goddamn car spouting off a bunch of bullshit. Nigga, go to work. Go to 4 to 12 with your break and leave me the fuck out of it. Like, you're saying dumb shit, nigga. Like, you're saying nothing. Like, fuck you niggas. But to Stephen Clark's family, obviously, we wish them, you know, well. And hopefully these cops get convicted.
They
probably won't. But, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and one of them will get something.
So, did you guys hear about the
kid in Brooklyn? Yeah. I can't remember the kid's name.
I can't either.
He had a shower. He had a shower head.
Well, basically, he's the neighborhood ain't quite right dude.
Yeah.
That everybody on the block knows him. You know, they
said they had footage of him, like, running up on people, bothering and people just kind of like, Daryl, go sit your ass down.
Yeah, like, that kind of thing. Daryl out there just acting crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy ass. So it was almost certainly some gentrifier.
Oh,
who don't know the dynamics of the neighborhood.
I guarantee you.
Looking out the window and calling the police. And it's like, this is why we hate y'all. Because you come into the neighborhood because you think it's so quaint and charming and whatever. But you make no attempt to learn the lay of the land.
Nothing.
You make no attempt to even learn how a neighborhood functions. Y'all out here fucking complaining on Yelp about bodega cats and calling 311 on the ice cream man.
And the kids is too loud in the summer.
Yeah, like, nigga, this is how it's been. Mm-hmm. Everybody got the neighborhood crazy.
Yep.
Like, and you know he don't mean no harm. You just gotta let him do his thing. He'll tire out and go home.
Eventually, someone will take him home.
He's on his meds. It's whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, but everybody knows that.
Snuck out, grandma was asleep. We snuck out the damn house. You know what I'm saying? But now you done killed the boy, you know, and he was shot, like, they terribly shot in the brain,
and
the aorta, and the spinal cord.
It was a fucking
murder.
It was
a murder.
It was plain clothes and I think a uniform cop, and I think the whole entire thing took 27 seconds.
27 seconds.
Fucking
27
tragic.
Seconds. So,
fucking tragic.
You know, I would have loved to had them explain to me, well, what kind of gun did y'all think he had? Some Men in Black shit? Because I don't know what y'all thought that could have been.
Well, yes, a bunch of y'all niggas, y'all could have just tackled him.
Yeah. I don't know what y'all thought that could have been. No one said shots were being fired.
Yeah.
No one said, you know, so again, this is just...
Probably starting to shoot on the ground or in the garbage can.
This to me just sort of reiterates that what happens is that the PBA has basically given, and the DA have basically
green light.
Given them the green light.
License.
Do whatever.
You get to do whatever you want to do.
Whatever
and we will support you. We will help you. We will, you know, do whatever we can do. Even when you do something that's out of protocol,
mm-hmm.
like a Kai Gurley being killed,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of serve up Peter Luang, and then they fucking recommend probation.
Probation and public service.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. It doesn't. Honestly, man, I'm so disengaged.
Yeah, so numb. Yeah. I don't read most of these stories anymore.
It's hard. It's really hard. It's really
like,
hard.
You know, and it's too much.
Here's the other thing. And I mean, this isn't like something you can argue scientifically, but like, I promise you that even black people who ain't never been to jail know what happens when you shoot a cop. Niggas ain't just out here trying to shoot cops.
Hell no.
Like, at all. Like, white boys will be more likely to shoot a cop than black people.
We know if we shoot a cop,
that's it.
It's over.
Like hardcore criminals ain't trying to shoot cops.
Your life is going to be living hell for the time they put the cuffs on you.
Yeah.
You're going to get your ass kicked.
Literally street dudes who've been street dudes their whole life ain't trying to kill
cops. Yeah, because they know what that means.
Exactly. So the fact that y'all immediately assume
we're going to kill you.
Ain't nobody trying to kill y'all, man.
And also think a lot, like I've said this before, a lot of these police are former military, mm-hmm. and they
look at us as insurgents.
Yeah, they look at us as insurgents. They're over there wilding out on the Iraqis or Afghanis or wherever they mm-hmm. were stationed at the time, and they come here and we're the same thing. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's what they do.
And now apparently, I have to double check this, but apparently at least in some areas, the standard of proof for what happens to the cop has now become not like whether he visibly saw it, which it used to be you had to be able to say when you visibly saw the gun, identified the gun, whatever. Now it's more something like, is there reasonable cause to believe that the cop feared for his life? Which, how do you prove whether or not he feared for his life?
Looked at me.
He had
grape now layers. I feared for my life.
And what we've done, and we've talked about this before on the show, but what we've done is post 9/11, we have
made them heroes
by proxy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, not even actually doing shit in the line of duty.
Just wearing the uniform. Thank you for your service.
I was a chef. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you for your service. Yeah. Come on, man.
So it's really sort of weird. And again, I fucking hate the PBA. I think they've done an awful job. I think mm-hmm. the DA has done an awful job with how they've handled and dealt with them. And it's been a shit show. And you know what? It's not just here. It's everywhere else. We've seen this shit in Baltimore. We've seen this shit in a bunch of different cases in LA. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't know what else to do here.
All right. I got to read this story. It's not supposed to be funny, but it cracked me the fuck up. mother allegedly uses stun gun to wake son for Easter church service. it's a short story, so that's why I'm going to read it real quick. This is out in Phoenix, Arizona. A mother in Arizona is in trouble for allegedly getting too overzealous and waking her son up for Easter service. According to Phoenix ABC affiliate, the mother was arrested when she used a stun gun to wake her son. She said, get up. It's Jesus Day. Dobbins admits she was holding the taser, but she only flashed its lights and made it spark in order to warn her 16-year-old son. I made the noise of the taser, but I didn't tase my son. My son said, Mom, I'm calling the police. She said, you can call the police, UPS, DPS, whoever you want to call. The police on the phone, and I told the dispatcher, he need to be with Jesus right now. I didn't think I did anything wrong because you're supposed to put God first, and all I was trying to do is tell my kids to put God first.
I know, that's right, because if Jesus got up on the third day, you could get your ass up and celebrate it.
They put the story up like she was this heinous mom. I'm like,
nah.
I'm not really mad.
And I also love, and that's so black, Mom. You could call the policeman, the fireman, the dog catcher, the ambulance.
And I don't believe she stunned him. I believe she just said,
yeah.
Get your ass up and put this suit on. Because you're going to make me late for this service.
Let me tell you what, Junior.
You want a good seat.
When your mama get home, nigga.
Woo-wee. Your ass getting towed from the floor. I just thought this was a really funny story.
Because
we also know this lady.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I just can't believe that little nigga actually called the police. He probably was bluffing, thinking she was going back down.
Yeah, she called.
And he might have actually been shocked when they actually showed up.
Yeah. Knew it's going to be a problem.
It's all fun and games now until they take your ass to foster care.
Yeah.
That too.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games.
Yeah.
Until you end up in the system.
So your mom is locked up, and our birther said, "I ain't got no room for y'all. Right. I can't feed y'all. I'm sorry, Andre. I can't feed y'all like that. Y'all live on the other side of town. Yeah. I can't take you to school over there."
Yep.
And you said, "Then you're in foster care.
Yeah.
Getting fucking meals slipped under your door."
Well, let's see how that worked out.
Nah. So we've opened up this listener letters thing.
Yes.
And we've gotten a letter. So please pull it up and read it so we could give this woman. And I got something to say to this lady.
Oh, Lord. Well, wait, I don't know if we know it. Do we know it? Oh, it is a lady.
It was a woman.
All right. So this is our very first, I'm so excited, mailbag letter. And I'm going to leave the name anonymous.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I enjoy Sean's old man logic, cringe and laugh at Jeff's problematic jokes.
We all do. Why I got to be problematic?
You are the, out of the three of us, you are the problematic one.
I will say, you have said some things where I was like,
Just saying, eagerly lap up Naima's music knowledge. Thank you. Someone else actually said I'm the glue that holds this group together, but I'll read that another time. So I need some advice. I have a friend who is Mexican-American, and his family has ties to the indigenous natives of the Yucatan.
Okay.
My friend has decided to do one of those DNA ancestry tests because he wants to see how much African ancestry he has. His reasoning is that it will legitimize why he feels he has such a strong connection to other black people. I call bullshit and have told him that everybody ultimately will have some African ancestry, and just because you may have 15% West African or something does not make you black. He seemed personally offended when I told him this and does not seem to understand why I find this whole thing ridiculous. My question is, what is the best way I can explain this to him without losing a very good friend?
Well,
Mr. Jeffrey, you say what?
I honestly don't see why this, our listener, thank you for listening. We love it and support it, and we love the support, rather. Why is she so upset that he's getting the test? Let the boy get the test done. Like, what's it? Let's get off her back.
But I think the thing isn't about the test. I think her issue is with why he's taking the test. It sounds like he's because somebody he who connects fucks with a lot of black people, and he wants to be like, it must be because I'm black. He wants to be able to say I'm black.
I got you. Okay, so from a... Because I thought about this a little bit. So from... And correct me if I'm wrong, because I ain't been in school in a long time. But from what I remember... The three kind of race groups are the Negroid, the Caucasoid, and the...
Mongoloid.
The Mongoloid, which is the Asians.
Right.
But everything comes from Africa at some point. And there are Mexicans that are darker hued and have an African kind of more dark black look to them. They don't really put them out there. They keep them, like, out in the fucking sticks. So, it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe he's a roundabout descendant of you maybe those darker Mexicans that have an African bloodline.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, let the boy figure it out.
I mean, well, go ahead.
I understand the frustration, right? The frustration, I actually do. And again, thanks for listening. But I understand the frustration, right? Because it's like, listen, just enjoy.
Just be down.
Just be down. Like, just if you're parts, yeah. if you're enjoying the culture, enjoy it. You don't need to have this. There's no prize here.
To say,
and you definitely don't
say my great great grandfather's
black. Everybody want to be a nigga, but nobody want to be a nigga.
You definitely don't ever get to say nigga. So short of that shit coming back 85% sub-Saharan, my nigga, you definitely are off limits still. So yeah, edit your rap songs. But I understand a bit of the frustration, but I also think that it's not your frustration to put, it's not your place.
That's my point.
Right? Like, if this person wants to sort of find, if this person wants to go down this path and they want to explore, that's perfectly understandable. They want to know where they come from. Yeah. But I think it is your place as a friend to say, okay, but this is what you're not going to do. This is what we're not doing, bro.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair conversation.
Yeah.
But you also, as a friendship, but let me just say this last thing. A friendship is reciprocal.
Yes.
It is not one-sided.
Yes.
One person does not get to dictate
how the other one
relates. So, yes, if this is something that is going to affect your friendship, you as a friend have every right to draw that line in the sand and say something.
Let me just say one more thing before you go, Nye. Okay. This also was a very interesting letter to me, because with this new ancestry thing and all that, there's a lot of people that have, black people that have done it, which I think is kind of weird because, you know, our shit cuts off, but whatever, right? But my point is, so we get it back and we so quick to be like, oh shit, I found out my great grandfather was Irish.
Right.
I found out that we're almost like kind of be proud to find out that there's other bloodlines in our shit. So this is kind of what he's doing. So like you mad at him? I mean, I don't mean this girl specifically because maybe she's not one of those. But like, don't be mad at him for doing shit that niggas do every day.
But,
when they get their test back, they're like, "Oh shit, I'm half Italian, I'm 3/4 Italian, well, or whatever." You know?
Okay, so this is my point of view. I think that you got to let him go ahead and take the test and have his moment. But when the results come back, kind of like what Sean said, then you have to have a conversation because it sounds like her concern is that he's one of those people. You know how there are some people who are in close proximity to black people, and it's not enough for them to be down. Like they want to be able to claim blackness, and it's not as far as fetishizing, but there is something about this. It's like they're enamored by the struggle or some shit. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
It's not Rachel Dolezal. It's not Rachel Dolezal,
but it is just kind of like, I just want so bad. It's like,
why is this such a connection to me?
Yeah, and they just want so badly to feel more like, to feel like there must be something there. So it sounds like he very much wants to be that. But I do think it's fair for her to be like, dog, just because you have like, you know, 12% Ghanaian, you can't go around and say you're black. Because it sounds like that's what he wants to be able to do, is be like, I'm black too.
Yeah,
and this finally explains it. Now I know I'm black. And that's what she's trying to do. Yeah, I too am a black person. I think she lets him take this journey. I think she lets him take the test. And then once he gets the results back, they sit down and have a conversation. And I think your conversation to him, listener, is about why it is bothersome and even almost offensive for people who are not black to want to claim black, right? I think that's the conversation, because he might not understand, like, why is it such a big deal? I love y'all. I'm connected to y'all. And I think you need to understand something. You need to explain to him something about trying to put this title on.
It would be no different, because you would be doing the same shit to me if I wanted to say, you know, look, you know, because of my hair, I feel like I'm white.
Yeah, if I was walking around saying I was Creole.
Yeah, I'm gonna go down here and I'm gonna see. Yeah, I'm Dominican Creole. And some shit. You be like, nigga, if you don't get black ass,
I know black. I know black, bro. I know black. I Dominican. Yeah, I know Dominican.
Yeah, like you would be on my ass. You'd be like, right, dude, you fucking bugging
fucking
out.
Wilding,
yeah,
son.
You bugging out. Right, yeah, now. And that shit would affect our friendship.
It would, because you start hanging out with Chad. Yeah, I'd be like, you watching the game with these niggas? Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I get it. I guess.
I mean, like I said, I just let the boy get the goddamn test, man. Let him find out that he's probably not black at anyway.
Oh yeah,
and then what's gonna happen when he come back and you ain't got no black?
His shit probably gonna be like 4 or 5%,
if that.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be that just merely just because of your numbers,
GP.
Right?
Yeah, just, you know, just saying? Yeah, everybody's got like a sliver of something. But yeah. Well, thank you for the letter.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We
appreciate it. You know, please send more letters.
Hopefully that you know gave you some insight.
Yeah, I hope we answered it properly. Please send more letters. We'd love to hear from y'all and to answer your questions in any way. And what's the call?
Any comments? What? What's what called?
Shug sent us a story that I thought that was kind of interesting. Down in Georgia,
the charter school story.
No. There's a social studies teacher down in Georgia. I think it's outside of Atlanta.
The chick who had him in blackface.
No, not that one. Oh. There's so many, right? No, not right. That one.
It's like, that one.
Yeah, but there's a woman who's a teacher of elementary school kids, and so she was talking to the kids in school about Make America Great Again and why y'all think Trump says that and blah, 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 and she just went ham. She was like, nah, it's because he's trying to turn back segregation. And he must be talking about how great is Make America Great Again for Europeans, but it ain't great for black people. And, you know, white people in America have killed millions and millions of people around the world and kids or whatever. So one of the kids, who happened to be a Cuban girl, that's the one they put on TV anyway, went home and showed her, because she taped it on her phone, and went home and showed her.
They're in elementary school. I don't know why I thought they were older kids.
She looks to be like 5th or 6th grade.
Okay.
How
do you got your phone in school?
Exactly. Anyway, but she taped it and showed it to her mom, and her mom, you know, clutched her pearls and was appalled and reported it to the news. But my thing with the trip thing about the story is like the teacher wasn't lying.
Nope.
It's just a trip that how like
it's just against the curriculum, but she's not lying.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's always been like this, but I guess now more with social media and everything. Like in today's society, especially with your man in office, it's like telling the truth about what white folks have done to other people is like looked upon as like you're bugging out.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like,
you shouldn't say shit.
People are more concerned about what you say than about what was done. Like, that's the thing.
What she's saying is the truth.
Yeah.
What she's saying is the truth. Absolutely.
But, here come a but.
Because it's outside of curriculum.
It's not just outside of the
curriculum. Teach them babies.
The tone was geared in the political.
You white-ass, devil-ass motherfuckers.
Like, hold me, the clown came to teach. Okay.
The tone was geared in a political way.
Right.
Definitely was.
And just so that, just to add a little clarity, I've had to send an email to school.
Really?
Regarding that.
The teacher coming hard.
Teachers, especially during the election time, especially during the election season, teachers being very vocal
about their views,
giving lessons that lean toward. Now, obviously, the listeners don't know my daughter Jordan. Jordan is her daddy's child, and she will sit back and she will listen. And she will get trigger words, and she will come back and tell me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was not uncommon to sort of hear that. And I didn't want that from either side.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, don't, not tell your people.
Give me the facts. Give my child the facts. Do not add your spin to their shit, whether or not I'm a Hillary supporter or not. Because it's not fair. I don't get to draw that line in the sand when the political views are opposed to mine if I'm allowing teachers to administer views that I'm in line with.
Right.
It's unfair.
True.
And I think that when you do that outside of the curriculum, and when I say that, there are words that should be used. She was not talking to 17-year-old high school juniors.
No, she wasn't.
You know what I'm saying? You're talking to fucking 9-year-olds.
Right.
And telling them that, you know, your ancestors.
The white people killed everybody.
Your white, your
she fucking said y'all killed babies and children. Millions of them.
Which is, yes.
Your grandpa killed my grandmama.
So,
savages.
So think about that shit. Think about being 9 years old and coming home and you thinking, you see your grandma and grandpa and they got their vests on, they got their rock ports and their khakis, and grandpa, and you thinking he done killed all the black people.
The teacher told me y'all killed all the black people.
So, you know,
I mean,
I'm just saying there is a way to be honest about curriculum and what happened in an appropriate way with an appropriate tone that is factual.
You think because they fire?
If they do, I don't know that there's an argument to be made that she shouldn't be. I think it was wildly inappropriate. Think about this. If you had someone spouting those views to a room of black children, and they were saying things in a very similar tone, we would be up in arms.
I know, but this is the thing. Stuff like that has happened. You say putting kids in blackface.
Yeah.
There was another thing about the slavery. But those teachers didn't get fired.
No.
My point is like those teachers was wrong too. But they didn't get fired.
She has a union
one of them
that
resigned.
Should be.
I think she had to resign because.
She has a union that'll rep her. I'm saying that's a hell of a case to go up in front of the school board and defend.
It's also very hard to fire someone.
I don't necessarily know that. And I'm saying I'm not advocating for her to be fired because I don't know.
If it pops off, you won't be stunned.
I'm saying, is there a history of this? Right. Has she been talked to about this? Has there been some fair warning? Like, we have no real context outside of just this one clip.
Yeah.
And the one clip, while, again, it is accurate, right? And that's how we talk, okay? Because she definitely said that shit at the barbecue
after
3 or 4 drinks.
No question.
Okay? And you done came over here with your white friends from college, okay? She's definitely telling them that shit in the corner.
Exactly.
Right next to the ribs and the greens. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think that there needs to be and let me just say this, too. I mean, I do understand that in social studies, that's a part of the curriculum, that's a part of the lessons, and that there should be political education in civics and how the system works.
Yes.
Not
which political there used views. To be.
Yes, not. But I'm saying it's not political views.
Right. Yeah. But there used to be like I took
civics classes.
A civics class.
Yeah, you used to have to take.
It was
civics,
like
yeah.
I took half a year was I want to say half a year was government and half a year was economics.
Yeah,
that's the way. Yeah, that's the way do, they did. Yeah.
Well, her name Janetta Benton.
Miss Janetta going down to the church and working daycare.
Yeah, exactly. Teach these babies after Sunday school. The last thing I wanted to talk about was this crazy ass story that happened in Houston. Was caught on film.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't caught on film. Was filmed that this girl shot this man in the head in her car while, with her homeboy. Now, I've read up on this story some, and the rumor is, her name's Cassandra Damper. The rumor is that the guy in the back seat, she and that guy are friends, and they actually knew the other guy. Now, apparently, the guy in the back seat and the guy who got shot had beef and an argument. And that guy was like, the rumor is that he told her, "Yo, I want to take care of this nigga. Like, I'm tired of this nigga and this bullshit, blah, blah, blah." So they basically set him up. He didn't know, obviously the guy didn't know that they was trying to set him up. He thought everything was cool. That's why they were in the car. If you watch the video at the beginning, they're just kind of goofing around. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking it's cool. But then she starts waving the gun. And he says one time something to the effect of like,
he said, "Hey, you make me nervous.
You make me nervous because you're waving the gun." And all of a sudden she's just like, ba-bop. One shot
Wait,
to the
what
dome.
Is this? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So in Houston, there's this girl, Cassandra Damper.
Uh-huh.
She was in a car filming it on her phone.
Right.
You can see it clear as day. She's in the driver's seat. There's another guy, the victim in the passenger seat. Devin Holmes is the victim. He's in the passenger seat, and another guy in the back seat. And they're like in the car, you know, talking shit. You can't quite make out what they're saying, but they're just talking shit.
I made it out a little bit.
But the guy in the back's got a gun,
uh-huh.
and Cassandra's got a gun. Right, and they're talking about blah. So Cassandra's like waving her gun around, and the guy in the backseat puts his gun on the armrest,
right.
And the Cassandra's kind of waving the gun around, and the Devin's.
So she's taping with one hand and waving her.
No,
gun
she's got the phone. Propped up.
Okay.
She propped up. Yeah. So he says something like, "Yo, you're making me nervous with that gun," and they like laughing and blah blah blah, and all of a sudden she just goes, "Bop."
But
she claims it's an accident.
But you think it was set
and
up.
The dude just obviously leans over and blood.
So should your gun have been on safety? So
I think. Let me say.
And he didn't die.
I watched the clip. He's on life support.
He's on life
right
support,
now.
Yeah.
You know, God willing, I hope he pulls through. I don't even know how
he made
is going to manage
To live, yeah, because there's got to be brain damage.
Clip. I couldn't really even shake that image out of my head.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Did the police release? I know I'm asking, Michael. Did the police release it? I always wonder how these
the clip was on World Star.
It was
Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
Oh.
Yes.
And then World Star put it up.
And I guess the other sites ripped it.
Y'all young niggas are stupid.
They were talking, you know, they were talking shit. Mm-hmm. The gun is out. She's, you know, we run down on you hoes. And she, you know, got the gun and playing with the gun or whatever. And that is a dude in the back. And that's the other guy who was hit was in the back.
Yeah, he's not named in the story for some reason.
He says, you know, like, you know, put the gun down. You're making me nervous. The dude in the back says, "Oh, ain't no clip in it."
Right.
She racks the gun. You hear it.
Oh.
That to me, even listening to that video, it was very distinctive.
Yeah.
It was very distinctive. Right. And you can see almost the sheer fear. You can see like most of
she's waving the gun like this. Like
mostly
like,
because she's being wildly irresponsible with the gun.
Reckless.
And when you Texas, you know how guns are.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is very real. And so, she, like, has the gun up in the air.
Right.
And then one shot goes off.
Mm.
Boom. Hits dude right in his head. Now, the guy, and the reason that I don't think it's a setup is because there's several different ways they could have done this without it being on Facebook Live.
True.
Their faces are on television. I mean, their faces are being taped. For one, there's all sorts of forensic evidence, you know, tying them to the crime. Mm-hmm. They don't.
She tried to wash her hands.
How did she react?
They both jump
out the car. He says, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, and both
and
him
both,
and her jump
and
out
they
the
both
car.
Jump out the car. Now, you know, people have, you know, Facebook and social media, You niggas watch way too much Law and Order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way too much.
They be
much
trying
Law
to solve crimes on.
You know, we did the same thing with the young lady who was found in the freezer.
Oh, from the hotel.
From the hotel.
Yeah, we and were all trying to investigate that shit.
They were giving out people's names and addresses. Yep. Yeah. And had people like really in fear for their life, only to see the video
and see that she was that home, and she did lock herself in the freezer.
So. To say it was a setup, I mean, I don't know.
I'm going
to
say that's the root.
That's what I'm saying. That's always, there are just several different ways they could have done this right. without being connected to it. Because right. because if we're being real here, like a fucking armed robbery
but
that
you
went
also
wrong.
Know niggas are stupid.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that there are multiple ways that folks would have done this without putting their face on Facebook Live and putting right. themselves. And also, no one. I don't know if anybody else has seen a bullet pierce flesh. Like, I don't want to be nowhere near that bullet.
Right. Yeah.
Like that shit is real.
Yeah,
that
shit can ricochet.
Scary.
Yeah.
Like, you not... That's why when niggas was talking all that, you know, Suge set up Pac, like, niggas have... Like, are you serious, my nigga? Like,
he sat in the car knowing they was going to shoot in the car.
Shoot? Right. Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't know about that. So I don't know about that being a setup. I think it was, first of all, it was super late. Mm-hmm. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they were in front of like, it was at the gas station.
Like a gas station. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So I would probably guess.
They've been smoking or drinking in both.
Yeah, hanging out.
And they were doing dumb shit that people do. Playing with a fucking automatic weapon. Like, first of all, it's always loaded.
Yeah.
You see a gun, it's loaded.
Yeah.
It's loaded, my nigga. Just
assume it's always loaded.
And there's always one ready to go.
Right.
Like, this idea that they, you know, like, who does that shit?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, when I see that sort of irresponsible behavior, mm-hmm. I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't never need to be around you.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't understand that kind of carelessness around guns. Like, I've been to a gun range. I halfway know how to shoot. But I'm not even... I'm scared to even have a gun, to be honest with you, just because, like, just the idea
just
of all
know.
The things that could go wrong mm-hmm. is really...
And it's not something, it's also not something that, you know, folks that live in New York that are not in the street,
right.
it's not something we're accustomed to.
Yeah, Texas, right. not, everybody got
Texas
guns
is a
Texas.
Part of life. Florida, that's a part of life.
Yeah.
That's what they, you know,
that's what they do.
I always, that's another thing. When I'm down below that Mason-Dixon line, I assume everybody got a gun.
Yep.
Right.
Especially if I'm in Georgia,
yeah.
especially if I'm in Florida, and especially if I'm in Texas.
Yeah. So the one thing I could say that they probably, I guess right now, people are leaning more towards your side is they haven't charged her with, like, first-degree murder. The first charge is, like, tampering with the
firearm.
Well,
yeah, which is... Well,
I mean, I'm saying she
evidence.
Can't... I'm saying she's not going to go to jail.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying, but it wasn't, like, you know, first-degree manslaughter, so... Yeah, so you know, she's gonna do some time now because it is what it is. It's on film,
yeah.
And even if he lives,
for that shit.
Even if he lives, she probably doesn't. Even if she lives, even if he lives, you shot him. It's on film. Somebody got to pay the consequences.
Yeah.
But it was a crazy. And there's another video. If you saw, there's another video from the gas station. So you just see the car like that, and then you see them jump out and run.
Right.
But there was mad people in the gas station, so people came out to the car. So those mad people saw it happen.
Yeah,
people come out to the car and they're trying to help the guy. It was
that again. So that adds to why that would just
not
be
a setup.
Yeah. You're like, shooting a nigga like in front of like
in front of a
Frankie and them is getting some beer inside
the
Valero.
Right. It's just way too much.
Yes, and they let her out on bond. She's not even locked up now.
Yeah, she had like a $2,500 bond.
Yeah.
She, I mean, she clearly was not hard to find.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean. I don't. It feels like it feels very like oh shit.
Yeah.
Right.
It feels like oh shit.
Yeah,
what have
up.
I done?
Yeah.
Right.
But the reason I brought this story up obviously because I wanted to talk about the story, but also just wanted to talk about real quick before we wrap up just how and we talked about a little bit earlier how this is going live and this Facebook Live shit is just it's just got niggas out of control, man. Like everything is live. Like dudes
everything is
like fighting on live, you know, beating up girls on live. Shooting on live.
It's too much.
Like, Kodak Black got arrested because he was on live.
It's too much.
It's like,
but
my
you know
dude,
what?
Like...
So, like, a couple of weeks ago, I meant to bring this up in the show. There was a whole, just like, every day, there were all these spring break clips from Miami. coming up.
I saw the one clip of the guy, I guess a girl had a boyfriend. And
yeah, and she was like, checking out on a dude who was entirely too old to be there anyway, but he posted it like, yo, I'll be wilding, and she asked him to take it down, he left it up.
Because
honestly, my thing was like, there's nothing wrong with what she's like, oh, Miami, shake your ass a little bit. But he want to post it, make it seem like it was a thing.
Like you're a player.
Yeah, but it was like no thing. But I saw a video of two kids fucking in an elevator.
Yeah.
You saw that because somebody came in.
Well, they were in. I think they were in there to film. Somebody was in there to film it.
Oh, I thought they stopped and somebody walked in.
I think people were already in there. So two kids fucking in an elevator, which is just wrong for a whole bunch of reasons. there was some other shit. But my thing is like, first of all, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? Like, it's spring break. Go on there. If you're gonna act wild, just act wild on the low. Like, it's spring break. You're supposed to be a little bit crazy, but also like. Do y'all really not understand that you gotta live with these videos forever, ever, forever?
Forever. You're like, 55 years old, and you still gonna be that girl that fucked in the elevator on live.
I'm thankful to God there was no social media around when I was coming up. I'm thankful to God, because there's all kind of shit that I can plausibly deny right now that I would not be able to do with this on film. I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
This live culture shit is just...
It's unbelievable. Awful. It's unbelievable. It's awful.
With the son who was in Miami... During that time,
right?
He going live?
He didn't.
Good.
Right. Nothing that I saw.
Just good.
Aside from just normalized Instagram live.
Yeah, because
I get that. You get IG stories, whatever. You know,
it's just like enjoy your time.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have to memorialize everything.
Dude, right? Everybody
like,
don't gotta really, know.
You don't, man. You really don't. Like, and it doesn't make you fly. It doesn't, like, I'm looking at this kid, and listen, I've been a young man in Miami. I'm not judging doing something a bit reckless, but yeah, I'm like, my nigga, like, you fucking raw.
In an elevator! With other niggas in it. Watching the film. Fuck?
Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and Shorty, like, too. Seriously. Both of y'all.
Well, that was my other thing. All of the clips I saw, everything was like somebody girlfriend in Miami doing. I'm like, what about the nigga?
What about
somebody's man in Miami?
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? It's like, it's always the chick. Somebody.
The double standards.
First of all, niggas is like 20. You're going to act a little crazy, but it's always like somebody's girlfriend in
Miami.
But
that's why I also give a talk to him and the kids, the young men that the young men that Justin hangs out with. It's been the same group of
same
kids.
Same squad, yeah.
And I always, you know, I talk to them, man. Like, yo, y'all going to stay off the beaten path.
Yeah.
You don't need to be at the hotel. We'll rent a place.
Right.
You know, like, don't bring anybody back there.
Right.
If somebody want to go keep time with a lady friend, okay, go get a hotel room for the night.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And if y'all need to chip in, that's what boys do. You take one for the team. All right, nigga.
I got $33.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't bring nobody back because I got told them. Y'all young boys, y'all whippersnappers, and you fuck around and you be hog tied.
And somebody done robbed
your ass blind.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. So
quit fucking around out there.
Yeah, that's real. Yeah.
Okay.
That's real.
I mean, it's just the whole... The other thing is that science has proven, and this is actually a talk for everybody, not just kids, science has proven that when we're taking pictures and taking video of things, our brain somehow knows, okay, this camera's doing the work. I don't have to remember this. So your memories are less clear
because aren't as
strong when you're seeing everything through a lens.
Yeah, I got you.
It's like your brain takes a break because somewhere in there it's like, well, I have this for later. I don't have to pay attention to it now.
Yeah.
And you process things differently. So you're literally missing a lot of the experience.
Well, that's the whole thing everybody talks about with concerts.
Viewing it through a camera, yeah.
It's like when you see a show and everybody's got their camera up. I'm like, first of all, I'm always like, well, what are you going to do with the footage?
Yeah, and also, why are you in a live show, but you're viewing it through a grainy ass
like, you're like five steps away from Drake, but you're looking at him through your fucking iPhone.
Right.
He's literally right there, my nigga.
It's
like,
crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I always say, like, what are you doing with the footage?
Yeah.
You're like, filming a whole concert. You can't put that up anywhere.
And there really are people who film the whole entire concert.
What
like,
are you
I
doing
understand
with
putting
it?
A clip up here and there.
Yeah.
Just to be like, I was there. But you watch the whole
like
shit.
Like this.
And it don't matter where they sit.
Yeah.
From
anywhere.
What are
you doing with it? What are you doing
Nothing.
With it?
Nothing.
Nothing. You just burned your battery out. Dumbass.
Took up all your iPhone storage.
So, you know, I mean, we ain't telling the old niggas in the room, but the live shit is just like, I don't get it. I don't even fuck with the live. I don't do it, man. And you know, it's crazy because people, you know, I'll Instagram like kind of sometimes like sporadically, and then people will be like, "Yo, why you ain't been posting?" Like, nigga, because I'm living.
And like, nigga, I ain't got nothing to post.
Like Sydney, friend to the room, love him to death. That nigga's like, you don't post you going to the gym. It's like you didn't go. I'm like, nigga, I don't even be thinking.
Sydney does it for accountability.
But like, I love Sydney. Yeah.
But I went to the gym.
You ain't posted. I went last night.
Joint. Yeah.
You know, by the way, I just want to say that I joined the 24-hour gym now. I got 4 gym memberships. I'm ridiculous.
That's insane.
I got 2, and I definitely need to. I got 2, and 1 is like, you're wilding, my nigga.
Oh, you got one of the super high-end joints.
Yeah, like, yeah. Nigga.
Yeah, yeah.
Chill.
But they got the eucalyptus on the towel.
Right.
Like, it's the, we call it the poor man's country club. Yeah,
come
man.
On, man.
It's the only gym
cucumber
I take a shower.
Water and shit. Yeah, you know, But I've been going to the, I go to the 24-hour joints. So I love that. Just sidebar piece to them because I can go. Like, last night I went at, like, 11:30
at night. Right, right.
Like, I like the late night shits, actually, so. But, yeah, but Sid, I love you, B, but, like, I'm not filming myself every time I go to the
y'all
goddamn
have, like,
gym.
This, y'all have, like, a whole little fitness cult in Atlantic, though. Like, it's a thing.
Oh, it is a thing.
It's a thing. Like, between Sydney and Joy
Brian,
and you. And, like, y'all be
yeah,
on
Brian
some
St. John.
Other,
and
yeah,
then, Joy go hard. Yeah. Kevin, I don't know Kevin Holiday. He gets down to.
And, like, Joy and Sydney do the fasted cardio. I can't do fasted cardio. Y'all will pass out.
Yeah. And then Julie, I've never seen her work out, obviously, but apparently she's heavy with Soul Cycle.
Okay.
And she's crazy with her diet. Like, she only eats, like, microbiotic and
Right.
Craig only eats salads.
Right.
Literally.
That's it.
Literally. Like, he'll order food for the meeting, and then they'll bring him in a salad. Like, right. And he drinks it with the same dressing every day. Like, it's a lot of shit going on up at Atlantic, man, but I love him, but it's a lot of shit be happening. But that's it. Right. We're going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And we will see you all next week. Please send more listener letters.
Yep.
We love it. Y'all. We want to do more.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got 3 ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.